Ready for the show? I'm ready to start.
10, 9, ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine run. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11. Tower cleared.
Roger all.
Well, greetings, my dear friends from all over the world. I am Martin Horst, your host, speaking on BBS Radio Station 1, a wonderful radio station that I am broadcasting over 5 years, and I'm very happy with Douglas and Donald. We're doing a great job with this wonderful station, because if it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. My program is called ET First Contact Radio, and I have a very special guest tonight. She is an amazing lady, and she is calling her name Maria Dancing Heart, because a dancing heart is what we are. Look, in the world where we live in, it is important to dance, to move our body and our spirit, because we are spirit, but our body wants to move. Our body wants to be a dancing heart. We are our heart consciousness, we are our emotions. And if we have a balance in the world we live in, we can open our heart and dance through the life. So, Reverend Maria Dancing Heart Hoagland was born in Tokyo, Japan, daughter of Lutheran missionaries. She spent her childhood growing up in Japan, attending Japanese public schools through the 8th grade. As a result, she is a bilingual and bicultural, and has used her language and cultural skills in a variety of ways through the years. After finishing high school at Canadian Academy in Kobe, Japan, she moved to the United States for college. She graduated from Yale College and later attended seminary and received her Master's of Divinity from Chicago Theological Seminary in 1984. In 1985, she began parish ministry at Church of the Crossroads in Honolulu, Hawaii, where she was ordained in the United Church of Christ. She continued in parish ministry for 10 years, serving a variety of UCC churches in Hawaii and in the Great Northwest. She changed her focus of ministry in 1995 when she began working as a bereavement coordinator for the hospice program in the Puget Sound era. Maria, with the author of, she added spiritual counseling to her repertoire the same year and has continued with the work to this day. Maria also trained in spiritual direction from 1994 to 97 and serves as a spiritual director and consultant. Because of her broad universal perspective, her ministry has an interfaith quality. She also continues to preach and perform weddings, memorial services, funerals, and other rituals, sharing her universalist perspective. Maria self-published her books. The Last Adventure of Life, Sacred Resources for Transition, July 2005. And The Most Important Day of Your Life, Are You Ready, June 2010. In May of 2008, a second edition of The Last Adventure was published through Findhorn Press, well-known press, of course, with the new subtitle Sacred Resources for Living and Dying from a Hospice Counselor. A third edition came out through Finch Publishing of Australia in 2009, also a well-known publisher. These books can also be helpful for those who desire to deepen their spiritual life by examining their questions and doubts around death and dying. No matter what our religious or spiritual background may be, we must all face our death one day. The sooner we can come to terms with this, the most important event of your life, the better. May Maria's books and holistic resources be tools to assist you and your family members and friends in being proactive and more comfortable conversing about this topic and everything associated with it. May they also help us as we move through all the changes and transitions that are required of us in the shifting, monumentous, transformational times. So, without further ado, Maria. Yes, I just want to say a Japanese quote that I learned. I want to really heartfully welcome you to the program. Nam kyoho renge kyo, nam kyoho renge kyo, nam kyoho renge kyo, nam kyoho renge kyo,
nam kyoho renge kyo, nam kyoho renge kyo, nam kyoho renge kyo.
Ah, you're aware of it. You know, I can tell you a little story, Maria. Have you ever heard of the Panasonic brand, Panasonic Electronics?
Of course, yes.
Yes. Well, the founder was a Japanese farmer boy from the countryside. His name was Konosuke Matsushita.
And Matsushita. Matsushita-san, yeah.
Matsushita. Matsushita means under the pine tree. Under the pine tree.
That's and correct.
Yes, and Konosuke Matsushita was born in 1884.
Uh-huh.
And in 1918, he founded the company National in Japan, and they were making bicycle lamps and double bolts for lighting for the lights in the room.
Uh-huh.
They started in a small factory, and the wife of Konosuke was making soup for the company back in those years, in 1918, 1919. And the brother of his wife later founded Sanyo Corporation.
Uh-huh.
So a couple of years ago, Panasonic bought Sanyo.
Uh-huh.
In the development of the company and of the life of Konosuke Matsushita, the company grew, and they are still based in Osaka, Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1970s, Konosuke met with Nichiren Daishonin, I believe. And he is the founder of Soka Gakkai International.
Oh, Soka Gakkai, yeah, where they chant the Nammyoho Rengekyo.
Exactly. And the philosophy of Panasonic Corporation is to make products with high quality. They don't make commercials. They are the largest electronic making company in the world. And the only reason they became the largest is because they make products with a good energy. Because everything that is created, even if it's created by robots, the designers design it in such a way that it's sustainable, that it's lasting your whole life. Because I have products from Technics and Panasonic. In the United States, they have a brand for TVs called Quasar.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they sell under that name anymore, but everything that Panasonic makes is either recycled, it's sustainable, it lasts your whole life, and they try to recycle copper and other metals, precious metals, because, for example, companies like Apple, Sony, and Samsung are plundering the earth, they're plundering the copper mines in Chile and Mozambique to get all the copper out, they use slavery, but Panasonic is melting the copper from old refrigerators, and melting it back into smartphones, televisions, and everything, they recycle. Because that's the philosophy that's the philosophy of Konosuke Matsushita. And uh-huh. Konosuke Matsushita was related to spiritual groups in the world, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. like Soka Gakkai International. He was a very special man, and he passed away in 1989. And everything that I use for my radio show, all the electronic equipment, my headphone, my laptop, my mixing table, my amplifier, my TV, my uh-huh. cell phone, everything that I buy is Panasonic. And the only reason I do that, the only reason I do that is because it has a good energy, it's sustainable, and it comes mm-hmm. from a philosophy, a spiritual philosophy from a great thinker. And I believe there are still some universities in the world where the business models, the ethical, because it's an ethical business model that works with the environment from Konosuke Matsushita, are still being taught at some universities. So that's the story I want to tell you, because you have this Japanese background. And I just wanted to share this story with you.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I didn't know that. And I'm very happy to know it. And I'm happy that your audience here today will hear this too.
Yes, because, you know, I can tell you one thing. The marketing of Samsung, Sony, mm-hmm. and other brands is so aggressive today. There's so many mm-hmm. commercials about Samsung everywhere, on Times Square, on CNN, everywhere. And they are so greedy. They are so greedy, you know. Mm-hmm. They take over the world of electronics. They steal, they use slavery labor. And nobody makes commercials for Panasonic. They are driven out of the cell phone market from the United States, Canada, and Europe and Australia. The only countries that sell cell phones from Panasonic are India and Taiwan and Japan, I believe. Mm-hmm. So they have a difficult time to survive in this very difficult and hard business world. But
yeah,
they're still
competitive times.
Very competitive. But that's on the sideline, that people know this, because I'm doing this radio show and I have the liberty to speak the truth about electronic companies, because we live in an electronic world. Everything is on Wi-Fi, everybody uses a laptop. You can order those cell phones in India with eBay. Mm-hmm. They ship it to everywhere in the world if mm-hmm. you use DHL, because it's important that people like eating bio food. If you want to eat bio food, organic food, or if you want to smoke organic tobacco, you can get it. But it's difficult to get electronic products that are made in a sustainable way, that last your whole life, and that are created with love, and where the products, the metals and the plastics are recycled.
Right, right. But it's so important, you know, because this is the wave of the future. If we're going to move into our dancing hearts, we must dance with the earth, and we must dance in alignment with everything around us.
Exactly.
So it's not about the greed, as you say, you know, it's about sustainability and thinking about the future generations and how can we continue and live with Mother Earth in a good way.
Because Mother Earth is so precious, Maria. And
exactly.
Have you ever heard of Nikola Tesla with zero-point energy?
Oh, yes. Very much so.
I can tell you another story. I can speak for hours about Panasonic, but we'll not do that. We'll just go into your story. But I can say that Panasonic was the only corporation, the only large corporation in the world that was really interested in making zero-point energy from Nikola Tesla available for the world. But then they were worked against by Illuminati companies like Sony.
Yeah, yeah.
But they Konosuke Matsushita was really interested in making the technology of Nikola Tesla available for the world.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Well, I believe that this time is coming. I was mm-hmm. in Sedona, Arizona, for about 4 years working with the Japanese, the tourists that come there. And I was sitting in with a wonderful, intuitive woman who would do readings. And she would often say that by 2020, I think she said, every household will have a free energy machine. So I believe this time is coming when much of what has been hidden will open up, and the Illuminati energy is gone, and we will have freedom to do the things and use the things that need to be used to keep things sustainable on planet Earth.
Yes, and Maria, I have just got the word yesterday and this week from Sheldon Idle and different other sources that in fact the Illuminati are done. We don't have to put any energy in them because their role is done. They have played out their role.
Right,
they're finished.
Right.
We are in charge. The light workers, the people that are aware, the spiritual people, the people with knowledge.
Uh-huh.
We are now, right now, creating the new world. We are already doing it.
Yeah, yeah. We have been doing it, and we will continue probably in a much bigger way soon, very soon.
Yes, indeed. I truly know this, and I feel this in my gut feeling, that we are now reaching a tipping point where the positive energies, the loving energies, and the cooperation of people working together in smaller and larger communities is now bearing fruit.
Yes. Yes, one of the images that I've received from a Japanese gentleman some years ago, he brought healing waters from Japan to the Great Northwest when I was living in Seattle. And he said something very interesting. He said, we are moving from the age of 2 to the age of 3.
Exactly.
Age of 2 was right, wrong, good, bad, you know, all the judgment, all the polarity. And now to a time of great union, and everybody and everyone is in the big circle, and everybody has a part to play. We are all important here.
So we are.
This is true,
yes.
You know, and this is the loving heart energy that's coming into the world now, and that many of us are embracing, and more will be embracing soon.
Indeed. And there's another interesting coincidence, or rather synchronicity, what you're telling about this Japanese gentleman that brought the healing water.
Yes.
The original logo of Matsushita Panasonic was a kind of a triangle with arrows on every corner of the triangle, an isosceles triangle with three corners. So this, like Mitsubishi, is also a Japanese brand using this logo.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, enough about Japan and technology, because I'm not being paid by Panasonic to make a commercial for them. would be nice, however. So let's talk about you, Maria.
Yeah. The end of life, you know, the death and dying work that I do fits right into this, because it is time for us to release our fear of death. I think we have been sold a bill of goods up until now by being told or thinking from when we were very small that death is something we must be afraid of. And this is a bunch of nonsense. We really need to see that death is a time of great beauty, of great sacredness, and we are going home to our true home in spirit. And so that is my message these days when I speak. I am encouraging people to see the joy of transition and to be better prepared when the time comes, because this is so much more hopeful, and this also brings peace not only to our hearts but to the whole world. May peace prevail on earth. This is my mission, having grown up in a country that was at war with my own country, and I have always yearned for world peace, and I know it is coming soon. In my time, I hope. I pray.
Well, I know it will, and I believe it will be very soon time for not only world peace, but also with our reconnection with this space families. You know, I believe that our brothers and sisters from space are gathering around the world, around our solar system, to make contact. They're eager to make contact, because love is the key. And if humanity finds love, not top-down structure, but bottom-up, because if we all embrace each other and do not pay attention to hatred and things like what the mainstream media is doing to divide and conquer, we can make this world a better place if we just believe in love, and treat each other with love and respect. Now, Maria, can you talk about your dancing heart? What the dancing means? Like I had gave my own interpretation in the introduction, but I believe that dancing is so important in life. Because I sometimes dance around the street when I walk, when I feel good, and you know, to feel good is your own responsibility. You can actually change your thinking, you can change the way you feel, even though bad things happen to people, you're always a master of yourself. And mm-hmm. if you learn to master your mind and your body and your spirit, then you can dance in the street. You can greet somebody and give people happiness. And if you give happiness to other people, they give it to their families and they give it to their friends. Because happiness is what is, that's in Japanese, in Japan also, I believe it's very important, is happiness. The Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism contains also this happiness quality.
Yes, yorokobi, we say, yorokobi.
yes, because, you know, I believe it's tranquility and harmony. Those words, you know, I know a lady from Israel. She grew up in Shanghai, in China. Wonderful lady, she's 96 years old. She's still painting beautiful Japanese and Chinese landscapes. She's in a very good shape. She eats organic food. She goes to art exhibitions in Jerusalem. And I'm a very dear friend of hers. And I met her last year when I was in Jerusalem. You know, because the logo of her paintings is harmony and tranquility. And harmony and tranquility, if we use that in our lives, we can thrive. We can be successful. We can create love and happiness and spread it around the world. Mm-hmm. So please explain us what the dancing heart means and how it is a threat in your life, a red threat, let's say, from when it started and when you had your awakening, and what you want to give to the world by the dancing heart that you are.
Well, it all began in the year 2001, when I was sitting in a Native American style circle in Seattle area, and we were praying once a month for Mother Earth. And one night after maybe 8 or 9 months, I just asked Spirit, I said, I would like a Native style name because I have this connection to the earth and I've probably lived as a native and maybe a shaman in the past. And right away, the name that night came to me, Dancing Heart. And I thought, wow, that's very special. I have to keep this name. And so when my book came out in 2005, it became my pen name or my spirit name. And then now it's become my middle name. I was born Martha, actually, Martha Marie was my birth name, and then I dropped the Martha along the way after I started the hospice work, and the Mary part seemed more important than the Martha part, you know, in the Bible story. Anyway, so then Marie became Maria, and then, which is the creation sound, you know, ah, and ah is for creation, I believe, and om is more for thanksgiving and the universal tone. But to me, Dancing Heart is all about joy and creating a place in our hearts where we can come to, you know, and move down from our head. We have lived in such a critical Western mind space for a long time now, and it is indeed time for the heart awakening, the sacred heart, if you will, that Jesus was about. And it's time for all of us to really move from the head and the judgment and the critical mind down to the dancing heart. So in a way, I feel that my mission is to live into my dancing heart and to help everybody see that this is possible in all of our lives, to become more animated in our hearts and open up to bless everyone with love and to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, too, in these rather challenging times for many. Because there's great change. You know, there's the shift of the ages happening right now on the planet.
Yeah, that truly is so. And the shift of the ages has been going on over the years, the past decades, because yes. It's a process. The ascension is a process.
Yes.
And I believe yes. We are now coming more and more into the fifth dimensional consciousness, where yes. We see this unity of all life in the whole
yes.
plane of existence yes. Where we are part of.
Yes, I totally agree. I heard a while back from a Quaker friend of mine who had visited South America. She said the Mayan elder there mentioned that back in 1987, I believe it was, we had the harmonic convergence. You know, you mentioned harmony earlier, but harmonic convergence was 87, and it took us 25 years to get to 2012. Mm-hmm. Well, he said now, starting in 2012, it will be another 25 years or so for us to adjust and to move into more fully into this, like you say, fifth dimensional world. So
yes.
That made sense to me that, you know, we have a kind of like a 50-year period of great shift and change happening on the planet, on Mother
Earth. Yes, because the first harmonic conversion was in 1987. Then on the 8th of October in 2003, there was the second harmonic conversion. And in 2012, we reached this tipping point of zero time.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are in the third year of the new world, because the new world started on 21 December 2012.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in the third year, and we are progressing beautifully. We are advancing our consciousness. We are sharing beautiful information on the social media. We are becoming
mm-hmm.
more connected as a world population. We are sharing knowledge. We are sharing wisdom. We are sharing ideas. And I have good confidence that we'll be moving in the right direction, even though the mainstream media is putting all the attention on those negative false flag events. Never mind, turn off your TV, just use it for, I use it maybe one day a week, just to have a glance at what they're talking about and to see, you know, things that are going on. But don't stay all evening behind your telly, because it's all negative, and we have to listen to PBS radio, we have to listen whatever, YouTube videos that are positive, because I'm bringing the latest galactic news, you know. Galactic news means that it's news that is universal, it's connected. It's for people to feel that, you know, you're telling your story, Maria, and your story is important to me, because
mm-hmm.
you contribute with your story to a better world. And there are many people who do this who come on my radio show, because
mm-hmm.
it's the quality of the transformation where people went through, like your own transformation.
Yeah.
And by showing your example of your story, we can trigger the transformation and the opening of the hearts from many other people. And that's why I use people like you that can be a great example, a great teacher, to actually promote unity consciousness and spirituality and open heartness.
Yes. And I'd like to share one other piece today I've never shared publicly before. But my first marriage, my first and only marriage in my life so far,
mm-hmm.
my ex-husband was a transsexual. So this is another piece, another theme around transformation that I will be sharing soon, because this is a very important topic for our times also, because we, as I was saying earlier, we all come into the circle. We all have something to offer the circle and we had a very amicable divorce. And then the following year, I learned that he was transsexual and then, or yeah, he was, and then wanted to become a woman. So my daughter and he and I, we went through this amazing process together, but very quietly. You know, it wasn't something we talked about a lot. And now I feel it is something that many are going through and need encouragement around. So I will be sharing more. I will probably be writing a book. Right now, a friend is helping me write an article about the story. But my lifetime has been a very interesting one, all about transformation. And as I look back, I see many of the pieces coming together. And it's not been an easy life always, but it's a life where I have learned to come into my dancing heart more and more, no matter what is going on, and realizing that the present moment, this moment right now, is what's important. You know, this is the only moment we have. So that is the other piece that I teach in my death and dying work as well, because none of us know when we will move on to the next realm. This is a gift to live on planet Earth and to go to school here. But one day we will all go home, and it's very important to remember that life is a gift. Every moment is a gift.
Yes, we have to cherish the moment of now. And I'm convinced of the afterlife. I don't want to call it the afterlife. Infinity. Uh-huh. Many lifetimes after each other, there's no beginning, there's no end.
Right.
Because three-dimensional time, or how you call it, linear time, is just an illusion. It's not an illusion, we live in it, as right. We incarnate on Earth. But our soul is always in the eternal forever now. And when we transfer to the other realm, when our soul leaves our body, mm-hmm. we encounter all our loved ones, all our ancestors, the people that brought us forth in our bloodlines, those soul groups, because every family incarnates many times with the same family members to learn lesson in depth. And
in the soul groups. Mm-hmm.
In soul groups, yes. We'll be welcomed with love, with so much love. And I believe that this love is in our soul. And so when we are born here on this planet, we are soon taught things in school, and when we grow up in university, that do not speak so much about love. But I think we have to keep this spark of love that is within us, and to keep sharing it, and to keep burning this flame of love alive in our hearts.
Yes.
Because everything is about love. Life is love.
Yes.
God is love.
Yes. And we are very blessed to have love and have emotions and a heart mm-hmm. on the planet here. I hear that in some worlds, they don't have emotions. So we are very blessed, you know, to have this kind of expression in our humanity.
Yes. Because many people always look up to those extraterrestrial races that are more advanced than us. But look how beautiful we are as a race. But look how beautiful this planet is.
Indeed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. There may be races in the fifth dimension, in the 27th dimension, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we have emotions.
Yes.
I can cry when I see a river. I can cry when I see a dolphin. I can cry when I see an old woman on the street carrying her bag of grocery. I can cry when I see a beggar, even when he's completely drunk or under drugs or whatever. I can cry mm-hmm. because of this, because it's a fellow human being, and I can help him. And he's a child of the Creator, of Prime Creator, our Mother, Father, God. Doesn't matter how you call it. Allah or Yahweh, it doesn't matter.
Right.
We are one.
And we are all mirrors for one another, for each other.
Yeah, that's important, the mirror aspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you want to talk about being a mirror? Like the Mayans say, in Lakesh, I am another you.
Mm.
When they meet each other. Do you want to talk a little about that? What you?
Sure. You know, you're talking about you can cry for joy or cry for sorrow when you see your brother or sister, you know, other human being struggling or in joy or whatever. And it's true, when we witness one another, we are really seeing ourselves just in a little different form. I guess you could think of it too that, you know, we've been here before in other lifetimes, so we don't need to identify quite so heavily with just one body and one story, because we've all been men and women. We've all been black and white and brown and yellow. You know, we are all of it. So we must learn to embrace all of it and see ourselves in one another. I think it was my Native American ceremonialist friend, the one who did the circle that I got my name, Dancing Heart, in Seattle. She went down to South America and used ayahuasca with a group one time, and she came back and she shared the story of having Jesus the Christ, come to her in a vision during that time. And she said that doesn't happen very often, you know, because Jesus is not her main guy, because she's not particularly Christian. But so Jesus came in, and then all these other faces came in, one after the other after the other. She was seeing just one face after the other, and all the different human rainbow faces. And she realized that the message was, you know, the Christ is in everyone, and we are all connected through the oneness and the Christ consciousness, if you will. So that was a very moving story that I still remember today.
That's beautiful, yes. I've heard many things about ayahuasca, and I believe you have to have a shaman or very important that you have care and comfort, and that there's no rush in doing the ceremony, because it has to be very sacred.
Yes. No, you don't go do this alone. You know, she went to a group that was being guided by a particular shaman, I believe, some leader, facilitator,
yes,
you know, who could help, because they know what can happen and what they could guide through the process. Yeah, and she was under that kind of guidance when this vision came to her.
Yeah, was she in South America when she did that?
I believe so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe Brazil or
Peru, perhaps?
Not Portugal. Peru, maybe Peru.
Yeah, I believe it was Peru. The Inca shamans and, of course, the shamans from the Amazon,
mm-hmm,
are doing the ceremonies, and they have the sacred knowledge.
Yes, I'm sure she was near the Amazon somewhere.
Yeah, because the tribes in the rainforest of the Amazon,
mm-hmm,
moved away from society when the Spaniards came 500 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And also the Inca shamans moved away to the higher altitudes in the Andes Mountains of the Altiplano in Peru, Bolivia, where they kept the knowledge, the sacred ancient wisdom, because they are called the Paco Andino, and they are the ancient wisdom keepers.
Uh-huh.
They have the knowledge since the beginning of Terra, Mother Earth, Pachamama, because,
mm-hmm,
they call Mother Earth Pachamama. It's a beautiful name.
Right, Pachamama.
And,
mm-hmm,
yes, and they have all the knowledge from the beginning times, from,
mm-hmm,
where the first colonies from Vega and other star systems first came to the Earth and populated,
mm-hmm,
the Earth. And,
uh-huh,
What many scientists believe, or mainstream science says, that the first humans developed from apes, primals, in Kenya, in Tanzania, and from there moved over the world. Well, this is flawed. This is flawed science. This is flawed history. This is insane crap, because skulls are found in Terra del Fuego, which is the most southern point of the world where people can live, Argentina and Chile,
which
is a place close to Antarctica. Skulls were found there that are older than this girl they found in Tanzania, so-called first human. If humanity would have traveled from Tanzania all over the world via Asia to the Strait of the Bering Sea to Alaska, and then moved south all the way from North America, Middle America to South America, the last humans would arrive in Terra del Fuego. So how can it be they found skulls that are older than the one in Tanzania? Because this is, of course, not published in Time magazine or Science or whatever. No, this is not being talked about at all. But this is the truth of the matter. And as I said, the Inca shamans, they have the ancient wisdom from Lemuria. Of course, you heard about Lemuria and Inner Earth. Because the Eastern Islands and Hawaii are the remnants of Lemuria.
And, I think I've heard this,
Yes, those continents existed. Atlantis also existed.
I think Japan has a connection with Lemuria, too.
Who has?
Japan.
That's possible, yes, because...
Yeah, they call it Mu. Mu,
yes,
Mu is the name for Lemuria.
Yeah, it existed over the whole Pacific Ocean... In the Ring of Fire, in between the Ring of Fire, Japan, Malaysia, Indonesia, South America, Mexico, North America, the West Coast, and it was somewhere in between there that the continent existed. And according to Sheldon Idol from the Planetary Activation Organization, who has been on the program, by the way, the story is that the Atlanteans had control over the second moon. There were two moons orbiting the Earth in those days, 300,000 years ago. And they used explosives to let this second moon crash on the continent of Lemuria. And the Lemurians flew to the inner Earth, which is called Agartha. Because we have, of course, the crust of the Earth where we are all living, where the oceans are. Then beneath that is the mantle where the magma is and the lava causing all this plectonic plate movement. Below that is a crystal layer of solid crystal, and in those crystal spaces are beautiful cities like Telos under Mount Shasta, Shambhala under the Himalayas, and below that is empty space, our forest is beautiful, a beautiful place is built, but it's hollow, the earth is hollow. And in the center of in the core of the earth is a central sun who is shining its light on these crystal cities on the inside of the crust, this crystal layer. And by the way, this crystal, this inner sun of the earth is a library I heard from Pleiadians. That contains the history from the beginning of our universe. So actually, our Earth is a very sacred orb. That's why we have all this extraterrestrial interest in our planet, because we contain the knowledge. Our planet contains the knowledge from the beginning of creation.
Interesting.
Yes.
So back to my work, would it be okay to share my website?
Yes, that will be a very good, wonderful idea, and where people can find your books.
Yes, I would love for people to go to Change with Courage. My website, main website, is changewithcourage.com, and you can see my books and many resources to help people through transitions of all kinds, not just the end of life, but the end of relationships, the end of jobs. You know, it helps people through grief, all kinds of grief and change and transformation. And then I also have a website called Running the Bars. Running the Bars is the name of a energy work practice that comes out of Access Consciousness. And so if you go to runningthebars.com, you will see the energy work that I do, and I can do this long distance. I can do it to the UK, for Japan, for India, wherever. We just need to connect and possibly connect through Skype or email or however we do, and then set a time, and I can do this energy work to help shift people and help them release old emotions, old negative emotions, and old thought patterns and resistance, you know, that is no longer needed, so that we can move more quickly toward our dreams and towards this fifth dimensional consciousness that we're in, and we're moving much more quickly toward. And then one other site I would like to mention is Soul Baskets. That's S-O-U-L baskets.com. And these are Japanese style soul bundles that I create with my books, my essential oils that I work with, and CD tapes or CDs, and then some information sheets to help people use the products in the bundle. But I use a Japanese, it's called the furoshiki, a Japanese ancient way of carrying gifts was to use a beautiful square piece of cloth, and you put your gifts in the middle and then fold up the opposite sides in a double knot. And it's a lovely way to carry your gifts. So this is what I have to share for people, again, going through transitions. Or it could be a self-care bundle that you create for yourself. So you can go to soulbaskets.com and check out the different bundles that I have there. Also, I can customize a bundle with the different things you like, or for according to your budget and things like that. And I can also send this bundle to your friend or to wherever you like in the world.
That's beautiful, Maria. I believe that when I read your story, when you contacted BBS Radio to be interviewed, somehow I felt connected to your work. I would love to read your books, and I would love to stay in contact with you.
Love it.
Of course, I would like to do another interview with you soon on Golden Age Radio.
Great.
Where I will give you the opportunity to say more about yourself, because I've been rambling on today, because I feel great, because I'm going to England tomorrow to the crop circles. So I'm all excited. Normally, to be honest, I do normally listen better to the story of people. I'm criticizing myself right now, but I think that's a good thing. We should always keep an open mind. And But nevertheless, I think I said some valuable things in this interview.
Definitely, yeah.
But I believe that you could share more about yourself. I could take more out of an interview when I do that with you, where you can tell more about your life, your books, the things you experienced, your spiritual wisdom. And I feel this connection with you, and I feel that you are having a plethora of teachings, a variety of teachings that you can share with the world. So I would be honored to have you again as a guest on my program.
Thank you. Thank you. I would be honored to be on your program again. And I'm delighted to hear that you get to visit the crop circles tomorrow. That's very exciting.
Yes, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to pack my tent tomorrow. put some things in my car, and my car is decorated with Crop Circle stickers. And so people think I'm a hippie, but I'm just making commercials for our friends from above. And I believe that we are loved, Maria, and we are loved,
yes.
And that we are protected.
Yes.
Don't need to worry about catastrophic events, because often on Facebook, you must also see them on Facebook, Maria, all those things like the San Andreas Fault going off, the Yellowstone volcano going off, comets that will crash the Earth, World War III. I don't believe this.
Yeah.
I'm sure we are protected, and I believe
yes.
that the future of our planet and humanity is hopeful and beautiful, and
yes.
that we can all embrace each other.
Yes, I am in total agreement with you on all of that. Yes, indeed. And there is no need for fear. It's the time to open up to more and more love and let the fear go. Let the people who want to live in fear, they may keep it, but we can create a whole new world with love and joy and understanding between everyone, honoring everyone and everything.
Yes, all life is sacred. Every yep. soul is sacred. Every life form is sacred.
Absolutely.
And, do you have a Japanese quote that you want to share before we close off?
Yes, I'd like to share what I've learned around peace from
mm-hmm.
an organization near Mount Fuji, where they pray for peace three times every day, except for Wednesday. They take a break on Wednesdays. But and the term for may peace prevail on earth in Japanese is 世界人類が平和でありますように. 世界人類が平和でありますように. 平和 is peace, and 世界人類 is the world humanity, or humanity of the world. 世界人類が平和でありますように.
Beautiful. And I want to say, Namkyoho renge kyo.
Namkyoho renge kyo. Yes, and my cat agrees too.
Yes, yeah, beautiful. Can you translate Namkyoho renge kyo?
Namkyoho renge kyo. You know, that will have to be my homework for next time. I will tell you at the beginning of the next show, because it's something around peace and wholeness, I believe, but I better not say for sure, because I don't know that translation, you know, exactly.
I believe it has to do with the love of the universe also.
Uh-huh.
The universe, that the flower of life, or the lotus flower in
uh-huh.
our heart opening up or something.
I see. Well, I can check here in a moment, but probably best to save it for next time.
It's a beautiful quote. It translates to the Buddhist chant from the Himalayas.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. So thank you, Maria, for being here. Much love.
You're very welcome, and much love to you and traveling mercies.
Thank you. Au revoir.
You're welcome. Au revoir. Sayonara.